Alrighty, welcome back everybody to the Trade Raiders podcast, the comic book club where we read a different trade paperback every single week. I'm Daniel and you're Nathan. We're brothers, we read comics.
Yes, we do. Good intro.
Yeah, flawless.
You did it good. That's one in a million, it feels like.
Yeah, I know. We got to sprinkle a couple of those in there so it keeps you on your feet.
Yes, people don't know that you're literally just so stupid. Yeah.
I practiced like 40 times in the mirror.
Yeah. Incredible, though.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, welcome, everybody. This week's we got a banger this week, Daniel.
Got a banger.
We got lots of things to talk about.
So much stuff. So much news. Where did all this news come from? Why'd it come this week?
Because we haven't had shit the last 2 weeks.
Why can't they just disperse it across the weeks?
I don't know. Because I don't want to talk about the news for super, super long. And they're like, nope, we're gonna put it all in there.
That's true. Before we get to the news, Nathan, I think this is like a new thing. You can now like rate your podcasts on Spotify. That wasn't a thing before.
Oh, really?
So if anyone listening would be so kind, takes like 2 seconds to give the Trade Raiders pod 5 stars.
How do I do that?
You go to the podcast and then you can just rate it. Let's walk through
it. I've just rated it 5 stars.
There we go.
See, five-star rating.
Even Nathan can figure it out. No, I did it.
Yeah, just go to Trade Raiders on Spotify. Yep. And it's going to say it's a 5-star podcast so far. And you know what? You could fuck that up for us. I would appreciate it if you did not.
Yeah, I'd rather you not do anything if you can do.
You can rate it 4 stars if you want. That way I know that you're out there listening. But I guess I would also know if you just rated it 5 stars, because then we'd have more 5-star ratings. Yeah. So why don't we just do that?
And then it'll also, if you get like enough, it'll show you like how many people rated it 5 stars. You know what I mean?
Apparently our podcast is about books and hobbies. I don't know if I selected that when setting this up.
Probably.
Or if Spotify just knows, but
they listen to it. They're like, okay, we get it.
Yeah, they're like, whatever. This is books.
Like, there's like pictures of books in our logo.
Yeah, and they're like, yeah, it's books.
Yeah, book show.
So, yeah, go rate us. That's cool. I didn't know that was a thing.
Good stuff. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Yes. Another 5-star thing about this podcast is that there are time codes in every episode description.
That is a 5-star thing.
That is a 5-star thing. You don't have to listen through the bullshit and then keep hitting that 30 seconds forward button and you're like, is this where I want to be?
Or try and skip around.
Or try and skip
for
around.
The good stuff.
Yeah. You can just go to the good stuff if you don't care about some of the other stuff. Mm-hmm. And you know, I won't take it personally because we still get the metrics, you know. So we have time code for the news. We have the time code for the book we're reading this week, which is Suicide Squad, but like a newer one. Because we've done Suicide Squad before.
The newest Suicide Squad.
The newest of the Suicide Squad.
Yeah. The Newicide Squad.
Yeah, exactly. That's what they call it. And then we have the back matter section, as well as the poll list where we talk about the other things we've been watching, reading, consuming that week. Mm-hmm. So tune in for that. But for right now, let's get into the news.
Nathan,
yeah,
not news, but remember that like cross-eyed
thing?
This
is the news section.
Remember that cross-eyed thing that we were trying to figure out last week?
Oh yeah,
I figured it out.
Isn't that fucking wild?
It is pretty weird.
Yeah.
It worked out better on my phone for some reason.
Okay.
I don't know. Maybe because it was like closer and it wasn't like
maybe like brighter.
Brighter or like a book, and so I guess it was more flatter.
So for those that don't know, in the back matter of last week's episode for X-Ray Robot, they had a 3D artist or something create like 3D, like set up the back matter cover issues, like the covers for all the individual issues of that book, and set it up for 3D. But there's also a way to do it where if you cross your eyes in a certain way, you can focus 2 images into like 1 middle image, and then it looks like it's 3D. And it's really cool. And it's like a new skill that I learned last week.
Yeah.
And it's so weird to think that like my eyes were crossed and like looking in 2 different directions, but were able to focus like individually.
And also looking at a thing.
And it looks like it's actually 3D. Because if you like move your phone or like the pages around, like shit's moving.
Yeah.
Like independently. It's so weird.
Pretty trippy.
I think that the Chris Somni cover looks the best. Because it's like all the people standing in a row and you could like see them individually moving.
Yeah. But yeah.
I'm glad that you got that figured out.
Yeah, yeah.
How long did it take you approximately?
You know, I didn't try it until the next day, but I got it in like a couple minutes.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
So I didn't read the instructions. It was because I was editing the episode and I was editing the part where you were explaining it. And I was re-listening to how you explained it. Mm-hmm. And then I was able to get it.
Okay, good. So just listen to me. Yeah. I'll explain it better.
Nathan's always right.
Don't listen to the dude that designed it in the back matter. Just listen to me. Yes. Daniel, actual news.
Yep.
Jeff Lemire inks an exclusive deal with Image Comics for upcoming projects.
He's doing inking now, Nathan.
Yeah, that's what they use that word in the article. That's what it made me think about.
I'm like, what's he going to ink now?
This is from Image Comics.
Yeah.
And the article is Jeff Lemire inks exclusive deal. And I don't know. I guess that means he like signed the, you know, the papers or whatever.
Yeah.
It's a weird verb for them to use.
Right.
But basically, all of his forthcoming projects launching in 2022 and beyond will be at Image Comics.
So does that mean he's not going to do any Big Two stuff?
Only new stuff. Yeah, no Big Two stuff, I guess.
Wow. Or yeah. I was thinking like he wouldn't do any more Dark Horse stuff.
He will continue to do his existing
or like all Dark his Horse. New stuff would be at Image.
All of the new projects will be at Image. Yeah.
That's crazy. So, that means no more Comixology originals, no more anything else.
Yeah.
But it's been mostly like Image.
But like his stuff that he has going, like Black Hammer.
Wait, what about Substack?
Substack will...
So no new Substack things.
He doesn't do any original Substack comics, though.
Oh, it's just kind of a newsletter thing.
It's just like a newsletter thing with behind the scenes. Mm. And I think, actually, I do think that they're doing a Black Hammer Substack comic with Tyler Crook, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, cool.
About Colonel Weird.
Okay.
I think I remember that being a thing. But yeah, anything new will be at Image Comics.
Hmm.
So we already know about Bone Orchard Mythos, and I think one other thing in there. But yeah. All gonna be an Image.
That makes sense. I think like he's probably the strongest creator for independent things at the moment.
Yeah.
And you know, maybe in the history of like Image things, just because of how much stuff he has and how much he's putting out,
mm-hmm.
that would be,
yeah,
a big, smart move,
big move for Image.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of things that happen at Image, do you remember the Comic Book Workers United union that formed?
Yes.
For Image Comics.
Yep.
They tweeted this last week that they are thrilled to announce that they have won their union election, making Image Comics the first unionized comic book publisher in the United States.
Wow. Cool.
Yeah. And I don't really know what that means for the people there, but they seem pretty excited about it. They had a whole thread about all the things.
Good things, mostly. Yeah. Normally like better pay and really good benefits, stuff like that.
Yeah. They talked about like staffers ballots and stuff like that, and a lot of union things that I didn't know existed, but yeah, they seem pretty happy about it. So yeah,
good stuff.
Big W for comic books
big
today.
Dub. Nathan,
mm-hmm.
Did we talk about The Boys last, or did we talk about that off pod?
We talked about it off pod.
Okay, so The Boys season 3 confirmed for June 3rd, Nathan.
Yeah, we did a forbidden thing where we talked to each other about comic books outside of this podcast.
I know, we were just
and now you're getting all confused.
I can't remember if it's in this room or in another room.
Yeah.
The Boys. That's basically how our conversations go.
Yep. The Boys season 3 in June sometime.
Seems so far, Nathan.
It does.
That's like half of the year.
When did the last season end?
I think it was like...
Last October or something, I think, right?
I was at my old place, and yeah, it was like October.
Okay.
Is when it started, at least.
So it'll be like a year and a half for the next season.
That's good. Yeah.
That's not bad.
I swear to God, if they don't have... Compound V.
Oh, the normal one, Compound V, yeah.
Compound V, yeah. If they don't have that shit in this and they don't inject it and they don't punch a hole in a guy, I'm going to be so fucking pissed.
You mean if the boys don't do that?
If the boys don't do that.
Yeah, they surely will, I would imagine.
And I would love for it to be Huey like it is in the comics.
That would be crazy.
And he kills... Who does he kill? It was
potential
one of
spoilers?
It was one of the teen team people or
yeah.
something.
Yeah, it was.
Or whatever.
Are you talking about in the trade that we read?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was definitely a teen team... people
or
person
whatever that team was called.
I can't remember.
It's something
whatever that team was where they ran around naked in a hotel.
Yeah. Yeah,
whatever that group
so someone,
was
someone useless, you know. Yeah. Not important.
Exactly. Daniel, you know how comics are dying?
No. According to stats, I've not heard.
Well, they're
nothing
not.
Proves that
graphic novel sales are up 109% in 2021.
109%,
meaning that's very crazy. Very large number, not just like 5%. Not 10%, 109% graphic novels.
And they're all from me, probably.
I definitely bought a lot more graphic novels in the last couple of years.
I think that's just like the funnest way to consume comics. Because like if you're like a casual fan, that's a great way to go.
Yeah.
Or if you're like trying to get into it, like if I'm in a shop and someone asks me what to get, I'm like, get a trade. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And that's how it should be, because that's how people know where to start. And then you go over to the Trade Brothers pod And you listen.
You listen. You get to a little, our opinions.
Get a little review, yeah.
Which are gospel.
I personally love listening to reviews of stuff, of things that I've already consumed.
Yeah.
So it's kind of nice. Like, oh, yeah, I agree. You or can be like, you're fucking crazy.
You can share those opinions with people that also like the thing that you like. It's great.
Exactly.
And that's that 109.3% number is pretty high in the adult fiction category, I guess, because the next one closest to it was fantasy, which saw a rise of sales of 45.3%.
Wait, so adult fiction was 109?
Correct. Well, graphic novels within like just books in general. So like without pictures only rose 45%. Books with pictures, 109.
Let's go.
That's great. That's according to publishersweekly.com.
That sounds reliable.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why I put it on there. So pretty cool. Daniel, we look at a lot of news, comic book news, and sometimes there's an article that's so bad that it's hilarious.
Okay.
This is from screenrant.com talking about artist Francisco Francavilla. And they said the what is it called? Headline?
The headline.
The headline is artist Francisco Francavilla released comic book inspired art inspired by the Batman and imagining what Bruce Wayne and the Riddler would look like as classic DC comics. So Francisco Francavilla drew Robert Pattinson Batman and Paul Dano's Riddler.
Oh.
And the Screen Rant is like, this guy drew what they would look like as comic book characters, but they're already comic book characters.
I know what they're getting at.
I know what
though.
They mean, but the way that they phrased it.
Can I see it? Do you have the picture?
Well, I mean, there's like a little thumbnail thing right here. So, I mean, Francisco Francavilla is great.
Sick.
It looks great, yeah. But the way that they phrased it is just like, do you want to look like...
This is like a tweet.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's a long-ass title for an article.
It is like a tweet, yeah, I guess.
Yeah, the Riddler looks sick.
Yeah. What other news you got?
Let's see here. Nathan, we got a Bob's Burger movie trailer.
I guess that show does have comics inspired by the TV show.
Sure does. They're through Dynamite. Can't wait to review them with you.
We will do one Bob's Burgers comic.
Yeah,
when this movie comes out.
I think it'd be a lot of fun.
I think it would be too, yeah.
Scott Pilgrim is getting an anime in development at Netflix.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. I'm not sure how much further the story goes past like what we know happens in the movie.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's like a long form story or just like a one shot.
I don't think it
thing.
Is.
Yeah. So maybe it's just an anime adaptation of that, or maybe it expands on that. So I just thought that was interesting.
I don't know. Yeah, that is interesting.
Did you hear that? What's his name? Who wrote it?
Brian Lee O'Malley.
Brian Lee O'Malley wasn't even done with like the comic as they were making the movie.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
They did a George R.R. Martin.
Yeah.
But that's crazy.
Much smaller
scale.
Let's see here.
Daniel.
Nathan.
Are you registered to vote?
Yep.
Did you participate in the X-Men vote that Marvel is hosting?
No.
So.
What is that?
You can vote on a character that will be in the new X-Men roster.
Okay.
And you can choose between this very popular list of characters, okay? We have Armor, Avalanche, Bling, Firestar, Gentle, Gorgon, Micromax, Penance, Siren, and Surge.
Wait, you like Penance, don't you? Is that an X-Men?
It's not the same Penance.
Oh, fuck.
They're trying to get rid of Penance. I don't understand why. my most controversial Marvel opinion is that Penance is a cool character.
So, you know, Penance is from what?
Penance is from the Civil War era, where they took Speedball, who was responsible for initiating the Superhero Registration Act by accidentally blowing up a school.
And then there's a spinoff.
And then there is a spinoff that was running at the same time at the Civil War books called Civil War Choosing Sides, in which we saw the aftermath of Speedball going through that trauma and becoming Penance.
Okay.
And he basically just becomes super emo, but I think his powers are cool because he hurts himself to get more power.
So is all of that contained in that one story?
In Civil War Choosing Sides, yeah.
Okay.
That's funny. And I thought it was really cool.
Okay.
But it was also kind of like when I first started reading comics, so I didn't give a shit who Speedball was.
Maybe when you come back to it, like, it's not that great.
Maybe it won't. But then I also read the Penance miniseries that came out, and I was like, this is also really cool. I think this is great.
Okay, yeah. That's what I was saying. I'm like, so there's more to it.
There's more to it. There's the Civil War Choosing Sides and then the Penance miniseries, and people flamed it so much that they haven't touched Penance since. I think he's back at Speedball now, in fact. So
probably.
So
So it's just a random list of a bunch of unknown
X-Men characters.
Do you know any of them?
Not necessarily. I mean, Firestar, I think, is a normal X-Men normally.
Firestar.
But it's a different version of the character, if anything. So,
who has the most votes right now?
If you go to marvel.com/X-Men vote and you can make your vote from now through Thursday, January 13th, there's like a list of like candidates.
When
and
this
you can,
comes out, the vote will be
well,
done.
Well, then go to marvel.com/X-Men vote and see who won. But there's like a list of candidates and you could read like a description of what their powers are and what they're like and like a little picture of them. And I think it's kind of fun.
Who'd you vote for?
Bling, I believe, because I think I liked her powers the best.
Okay, so you said marvel.com?
marvel.com/X-Men vote. And you can cast your ballot there.
Does X-Men have a dash?
No, no dash.
Okay. Let's see here. I'm just going to go strictly based off the pictures. Mm-hmm. No, it's Avalanche.
I think it's Bling. Wait, which one's Avalanche? Does that do with the blue avatar markings?
No, that's Gentle. Avalanche has like this like chrome armor.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I think it looks fucking cool.
Cool, vote for him.
Yeah, it's not
if
very...
If you want to make an uneducated vote and not learn about your candidate, you can do that and vote based off looks.
Oh, it doesn't show percentage right now. yeah, that's what what I do.
Yeah, they don't show percentages in the actual election until
everything's
done.
So think about
done.
It this way. Well, I don't read X-Men, so it really doesn't matter. I'm not going to see them.
Yeah, I probably won't see them
either. Read about them.
but I think this is a fun
idea. What would be really cool is to see them drawn by different artists. And so if I go based off of what they look like and like the cosmetic aspects of that, I think that'll pay off a little bit more.
What do you mean drawn by different artists?
So you know how like everyone draws Batman a little bit differently and you're like, oh man, look how Chris Samney draws Batman.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? So
that's why you're voting for the coolest design, because you want to see other artists draw that design.
Exactly.
That's fair.
Gentle kind of looks like he's like an avatar or something.
Yeah,
I think
it's kind of a fun idea too. It's not like the DC round robin where they're like, let's like vote for who has a job. It's like,
it's just like, let's throw some shit in
there.
Let's
just see, you know, what people kind of want to see in an X-Men roster, but not name the whole X-Men roster, you know? It's just one person that you get to add in there.
Because think about it. When comics were first starting up, a majority of the reason why people picking shit up is because of what people look like. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Because like their design.
Yeah. And it's like people are like, oh, that looks interesting. I want to see that. I want to see more of that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So not just the design, but this, you get like some background on them. And I think being able to choose who you want to see is really cool. Because
I think it's a fun idea.
Like the book that we have, I'm like, I have no idea why they picked the team that is together in the Suicide Squad book.
It's so weird.
But I would pick the sickest team, but this team is not it.
Yeah.
There's a couple that I like.
I think DC should do this for Suicide Squad.
Yeah. That'd be way... Well,
be
I
like,
mean,
what random ass villains do you want? And then they choose the top five.
I'm glad it wasn't just the people in the movie, but I also don't agree with this team either.
I think it's all right.
But all right. We'll anyway, get into it. Nathan.
Yes.
Ed Brubaker is added to the writer's room of the HBO Max series Batman, the Caped Crusader.
Is that the reboot of the Batman, the animated series?
No, it's like a different thing.
Oh, okay.
I think.
It's another Batman show that's coming.
Another Batman animated show, and Ed Brubaker is going to be one of the writers.
Thank God. I thought one wasn't enough.
Yeah, no. You know they're always going to cash out on Batman.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. I like Ed Brubaker. We should read some of his Batman because he's done...
I know exactly which one to do.
Great.
It's called The Batman Who or The Man Who Laughs.
Oh, that's like the... Okay, yeah.
It's an older one.
Yeah, a bit of an older one.
It's
but
great.
That's okay.
It's more of like a detective story.
Right.
Which I like.
He's also done Gotham Central, so I think he'll nail that part of Batman's character being like Gotham.
Yeah. I don't know if like a Batman show would have that much to do with like Gotham Central, but...
Yeah.
Anyway,
that's pretty cool. Good for Ed. Good for Ed.
Nathan.
Yes.
Some interesting news.
Mm-hmm.
China has an artificial sun.
Oh, yeah.
Just like how Doc Ock did in Spider-Man 2.
Yep. The goal is to have cleaner energy or whatever.
Yeah. Pretty crazy.
Pretty cool.
Apparently it burns like 10 times hotter than like the sun.
It shines 10 times brighter.
Okay. Hopefully.
Or maybe it did burn 10 times
brighter. Because I'm like, how the fuck is that on Earth right now?
Well, if it's smaller... you know, it's fine.
It's really hot in this room, isn't it?
Yeah, but if you're far away enough, it's fine.
Whew, mama turned on the furnace.
If you think about it, we can really do that now if we just cook Hot Pockets.
Yeah, basically.
And it's basically 10 times hotter than the sun.
It just burns through the bottom of the microwave.
Yeah, basically.
Oh, man.
I'm out of news. Oh, actually.
Actually.
We had our official, unofficial award show, the Trade Raiders Awards.
Yeah, dude.
Last week.
You tweeted about everything, and you didn't tag everyone who won, technically.
I did.
No, because I saw you
tweet. I tagged the individual people.
Who won individual things. But,
yeah.
But why wouldn't you tag, Daniel Warren Johnson as winner of,
Because I didn't want it to be, a big fucking... I don't like when I see tweets and it's like something very basic and then there's a million @s. I think that's...
Well, you could have done one tweet for each individual award.
Even still, I don't know.
Okay, anyway, what
didn't
we
want a big
that?
Thread. But JP Mayer's thanks, guys. So maybe if he listens to this, he'll get a Trade Raiders award if he decides to reach out.
If he plays his cards right.
Yeah, if he plays his cards right and he literally does the most basic thing and reaches out to us via Twitter.
He won Best Inker?
Have to 3D print him something. What's up?
He won Best Inker?
Best Inker, yeah.
Nice. Congratulations.
Yes.
That's very cool.
I thought that was cool. He's like, thanks.
He's probably just swiping through, looking at dumb shit, and then he sees that he's tagging something. Oh, thanks. And then just moving
didn't
on.
Didn't even read it.
Yeah.
Mike Allred also retweeted us, so that was pretty cool.
Wow, yeah. That's sick.
Big news. Big W's.
Big dubs.
Anyway, that's
Mike
that's
Allred
all
coming in the pod.
Yeah, please do.
That'd be so crazy.
We'll read dupe.
What if we got him on a video call? And we're like, we know your wife's there. Tell her to come in here.
Where's Eisner Award-winning Mike Allred's wife, Laura Allred?
Yeah. Oh, man.
What other news you got?
Nathan, James Gunn has confirmed that he's working on another show at DC.
Oh, I did see that.
Pretty exciting. What do you think it is?
I think it's Arm Fall Off Boy.
Wow, that'd be great. I mean, I think...
Because he loves Nathan Fillion.
I'm hoping that it's something not connected to the Suicide Squad.
Okay. If it's not connected to the Suicide Squad, I think, man, there's a lot of things that DC announced.
Dude, but Booster Gold Show.
But they have a blue and gold movie, technically, that they announced 20 years ago.
No, they don't.
Yeah, that's
they
true.
They don't have anything.
Booster Gold would be pretty good.
I think that'd be a great pair.
Yeah. Or maybe it's a spinoff of Peacemaker, like that other dude, Vigilante.
I think he dies in the show.
Yeah, the show's not even out yet at the time of recording.
I think I've just heard it somewhere, though.
Wow.
Anyway, sorry. Spoilers. That unconfirmed spoilers.
I want him to do a Green Lantern show.
Isn't there supposed to be one?
Oh, yeah. There's one on HBO Max that's coming out. I want him to do...
Well, he could be... Well, working on one doesn't mean he's writing and directing it.
That's true. He's just working on
it. I don't think they'd announce it, make it a big deal if he was just being a producer on something.
Yeah.
I think he'd have to be writer directing.
Mm-hmm. Animal Man.
Because there's a lot of people that are still alive. Animal Man?
Because he's got his roots in horror.
That's true.
Yeah. So that
with
might what? Be... he has Oh, fuck. What is it called? Why am I spacing on it? Slither, I think.
Oh, yeah. He did Slither.
Yeah.
That's gross. That movie was gross. I didn't even see it.
Gross movie. Animal Man? Gross book. At least in New 52.
That'd actually be a really good fit then.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I'm the best at fan cast.
That'd be fucking crazy. That'd be... Something coming out of straight left field, you know?
That's what he does, though.
Yeah. He's like, oh, let's throw Peacemaker in my Suicide Squad movie.
And make a show after.
And then
after.
I also want a show. This character's been barely published since the 1980s.
I'm so
I'm
excited.
Throwing it in there.
There was a teaser for Peacemaker, and it's just John Cena crying about something. And it made me laugh. And so I'm so excited for the show.
What sucks is I thought... John Cena is a bit much as Peacemaker in the movie.
I disagree.
And so I wasn't or the jokes didn't really land for me, I guess. And but he is a fun character.
Yeah.
And I'm excited to see more of that. And hopefully my opinion will change after seeing it a little bit more fleshed out.
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, if I had to pick someone to make a show about in the Suicide Squad, I'd probably do Bloodsport.
Yeah.
Because I think he's. So a little bit more enjoyable.
Yeah, he's got the kid thing too.
He's got the kid thing.
He's I hate you, kid, but I love you.
How do you get these guns? These little Nerf guns that just keep coming.
Yeah, I guess it's kind of a comic book news. Local comic book news for all of Arizona. Nothing came out except for DC stuff.
Yeah. Okay. That was the other reason why I didn't go.
Yeah. Which I didn't know. You probably found out on like Twitter or something or Instagram.
Yeah, I follow them.
Okay. But yeah, I went and they're like, so we don't have anything except for DC. And I'm like, shit, I was only going to pick up what's the furthest place from here. So
yeah.
But actually I did end up, actually I'll talk about it on the pull list.
Okay.
But yeah, no Image, no Marvel, nothing from Diamond like came out because of weather or something. So big L I took.
Yeah, that sucks. I should have said that to you. I should have texted you. But I forgot.
You suck, dude.
When you said it, I remembered, but it's not something I had like fresh in my mind.
Mm, okay. Anyway, let's get to the book that we read this week, Daniel.
Alrighty. We have The Suicide Squad.
2021.
And the trade's called Give Peace a Chance.
Yes. And it is by a bunch of people, but mainly Robbie Thompson as writer. Pencilers, Eduardo Pansica. Dexter Soy.
Love Dexter Soy.
I love him too. He's good.
So good.
Javier Fernandez.
Were you able to kind of pick out the pages that Dexter Soy did?
At the end, yeah.
Yeah. I was like,
Bloodsport.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, dude, this is, we'll get to it. And then inkers, Julio Ferreira. Ferreira, I think. Dexter Soy, Javier Fernandez, Joe Prado, which is cool.
Colors, why is that cool?
He's a good inker.
Okay. I don't know.
Marcelo, Alex Sinclair, Marcelo, Maiolo, and Wes Abbott is a letter.
Dude, Wes Abbott's everywhere.
Dude, he's like Nate Picos. Nate Picos. He just slips in every once in a while, you know?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Suicide Squad 2021. I don't give a shit about these first two issues because they were the future state issues.
So I was so fucking confused.
They don't make any lick of sense at all.
Okay, so the thing about these is I just like started reading this book and I thought they were just know the future state ones were like in this. And so when I was reading it, I was like, holy shit, what's going on,
dude?
And I thought it was honestly a lot of fun. Like I thought the future state issues were like way more fun than the rest of the book.
I disagree. I did not like the future state.
I also think the future state team is way better than the other team.
We'll get into it, but yeah. So to explain, Scott Snyder and Greg Capullo, they're like, let's do an event. It was called Death Metal, and that was very multiversal. I think it's Scott Snyder trying to do a Grant Morrison, but I don't think he's very good at it.
He just made a mess,
big mess. big multiversal mess. And then right after that, they came out with Future State, where they're just like, let's just try out new ideas, I don't know, and then we'll fix it in Infinite Frontier, I think. I don't know. The DC continuity has been super confusing lately.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, when they kicked off a new line of books, they had future state issues for them where they would do like pinup stories, like one or two issue, like basically zero issues before the actual trade came out. And this one is very confusing. Like I liked the Teen Titans Academy one. I picked that one up. I liked the Green Lantern one and I picked that one up.
Uh-huh.
This one, super confusing to me. And it's also confusing because there's not a whole lot of that context in this trade. So you're just reading two issues and then the trade starts.
Yeah.
So it's like kind of weird.
Yeah. Because I thought I was reading the book.
Me too.
And then it started and then it's like, oh, issue one. I'm like, I thought I was in issue three.
Yeah.
And then I look back and it said that they just put these in there.
Yeah. So basically the really only...
an eight issue trade that we read.
It really is. It's a big one. We haven't done one of those in a while.
I know.
But the only context that you get is like one little caption box where it's like the multiverse has been fucked up by Death Metal. So this is what you get now.
So
the first two issues are Future State. I didn't really have a goddamn clue what was going on this whole time, but it's basically the Suicide Squad is the Justice League, but from Earth 3, known as the Justice Squad.
Yeah.
So basically the Suicide Squad is just the Justice League, but evil.
And it's just a bunch of people pretending to be the people in the Justice League.
Yeah, but they're bad.
Like we have like Talon.
And then the heroes of this book are normally villains in Earth 1, the normal DC continuity. And then the heroes are like Sinestro and Mongal and Brainiac in like these issues.
Yeah.
So it's like very backwards and it is kind of fun, like that premise, but I was reading it and I'm like, the Justice Squad, which is the Suicide Squad of Earth 3, I'm like, okay, those are the good guys. And then their heads start exploding and stuff. So it's all very weird to me.
Overall, I thought like all of it had some like pretty decent pacing.
Yeah.
If we're honest.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was surprisingly entertaining.
Okay.
To be honest. On Comixology, this book has 3 stars. I don't think it's a 3-star book.
I don't think so either.
Because 3 stars is like harsh on Comixology. Mm-hmm. Everything has like 4.5 stars.
Yeah, 3 stars.
Or like
stars.
5. And if you have like, if you have 4, like people don't like this book.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So 3 is like bottom of the barrel.
How many? I mean, there's only 3 reviews.
Yeah.
So I guess we could review this and get it up to 3.5 stars, maybe.
Maybe. I'm not putting 5 stars in there.
I'm not putting 5 stars.
Yeah. Sure. I think 4 is definitely earned.
Yeah. Okay. That's fair. But that's funny. Yeah. It is like, that is a weird thing with Comixology, because it's like every fucking book is 5 stars.
Like if they have 0 stars, it means they have 0 reviews. You know what I mean?
And then nothing, if it's anything else than 4.5, 5 stars, then it's a bad book in people's eyes. So that's funny that you looked at that and pointed that out.
I look at that every single time.
But yeah, the so like this Earth 3 version of Suicide Squad, pretty fun. I really like this version of Aquaman because he's like a fish man.
Yeah.
His face is just half fish, half man, and I think it looks pretty funny.
Yeah.
But other than that, like Connor Kent Superman is leading the Suicide Squad. There's like an alternate version of the Flash, which is Bolt.
Yeah.
Which is confusing because there's another Bolt in this exact trade that they use as a villain in the Suicide Squad that's not this Bolt. There's two different, technically we're playing with 3 different versions of Bolt in this book.
Yeah.
Because there's the Earth 3 one, Earth 1 one, and then just some random dude also named Bolt. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, dude. Fuck.
Yeah. And so Amanda Waller's just in here and she's like, I need to, we got to go to the Justice League house and get in there. And it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But she's still, Amanda Waller is basically just leading the Justice Squad and she wants to save her world. And, but the Suicide Squad normally that we know is in Earth 3 trying to get Amanda Waller. But the issue is they can't stay in Earth 3 very long or else their brain turns to mush. Essentially,
yeah,
because they're in a different dimension and it vibrates differently, I guess. So we see Black Manta die, and I really like how he dies, because when he falls over, you see like his big old mask start to fill up with blood.
Yeah, like his bucket helmet,
like it's a fish tank.
Yeah,
I think that's pretty funny.
Yeah,
but yeah, so just a fucking weird way to start this, and then it goes straight into issue 2, Future State, and I still have no idea what happened. Other than by the end of this, like Earth 3 is sealed off and Amanda Waller is being devious on Earth 3 now. But we do see like the normal Suicide Squad led by Peacemaker try to go get Amanda Waller
in like her apartment,
basically in this issue. And she has a contingency where she uses like Clayface to like stop them. But Clayface has like a bomb inserted in every cell of his body.
Yeah.
So when she chooses to make him go boom, it like creates a bigger explosion because it's like literally in every cell in his body.
So they go after Amanda Waller in her apartment, the Suicide Squad from Earth 1.
Yeah.
And the Justice Squad is there from Earth 3 to like protect her.
Yeah.
But that Amanda Waller that they're going after is the Amanda Waller from Earth 3.
Yeah.
And then Amanda Waller from Earth 1 that they're looking for is elsewhere. So she just uses Clayface as like a suicide bomb to kill everybody.
Which Amanda Waller? The Earth 3 native one or Earth 1?
Earth 1 uses Clayface to blow up everybody, including Earth 3 Amanda Waller.
Okay, I don't know if I picked that up.
Because Earth 3 Amanda Waller is like, she said she'd keep my family safe. And I'm like, she's a big fat liar because she killed your ass.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if that was like Clayface saying that, because I saw that like her eyes kind of like did a thing. And I'm like, is this Clayface? So Earth 1 Amanda Waller kills Earth 3 Amanda Waller?
Yeah.
Damn, that's devious.
With Clayface.
That's devious.
Yeah.
Do you like this version of the Suicide Squad? It's got like some new people.
Team?
You got Parademon.
Yeah, Parademon, that's fun.
That's a cool little villain.
We got Cheetah. Why not?
Cheetah, Evil Star. I don't know who that is.
I don't know who that is, but I like him.
He's got a big star on his face. That's pretty fun.
Yeah, we got Mirror Master. Are you fucking kidding me? I love Mirror Master.
I actually like how they use him in this issue because he like puts the Flash in like a mirror loop and she like can't stop running because she's like so close to mirrors that she keeps hitting the other mirrors.
Exactly. Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And then we also got Lor Zod. So I guess he's like
a Kryptonian
of some sort.
Yeah,
that's sick. You know how handy that'd be?
That would be handy. So yeah, I guess it is kind of fun if you just go with the flow.
Like, this team needs to be random, but also we like know who they are.
Yeah.
And to know where you're their like, strengths. Oh shit, this person's here. And the Suicide Squad has like heroes all the time. So just throw a hero in there.
Yeah.
It's trying to do some good or whatever.
Yep. Yep. So anyway, that's the future state issues. Basically,
because what Earth One Amanda Waller is trying to do is trying to like seal the Earth like from aliens, like have this like force field thing,
mm-hmm.
and everyone's just trying to stop her from doing that, but she succeeds, and then by the end of the issue, her like brain melts or whatever because she's been there for too long.
Oh, okay.
And I think that's everything I picked up from that.
Yeah, I guess it's in the future too. I don't know how that works with continuity.
The Flash, well. The Flash girl, she ends up like killing Zod. Which is fun.
Yeah.
Because she thought it was just supposed to like stop him, but neutralize. Actually kills. Yeah, neutralize.
But he gets permanently neutralized, which is not what she intended. So does Bolt go back in time then? Is that the idea and how that fits in the continuity or?
No. You know what? I don't know. I don't think so. I think this is just an older Bolt?
I don't know.
Well, maybe Bolt is younger on this Earth.
I don't know.
You know what I mean?
I don't know. But well, I don't know how this like sets up like this Suicide Squad.
It doesn't. No. I don't think Future State is supposed to set up the new series. It's just a fun thing that they did for two issues.
I thought it was kind of supposed to. Maybe I'm wrong.
No, I definitely separated these two in my mind.
Yeah, I did too. But now let's go to issue one again.
But no, there's one part I wanted to bring up.
Okay, sure.
So there's like this person acting as Wonder Woman. I don't know who she is, actually.
She does like illusions.
She has illusions or something. And they do a thing, and she does a thing where she takes over a Mirror Master's mind. And Peacemaker like has like the detonators for all the bombs in their heads.
Yeah.
And so once he knows that Mirror Master's like compromised, he blows him up in order to kill like more people of like the Justice Squad.
That's pretty hard.
Yeah. I was like, hell yeah, dude, that's sick.
In Valorant, we call that a trade.
I would have done that with like a different super, like maybe the Parademon or something.
Yeah.
And kept Mirror Master, but I still thought it was fun.
Yeah. I feel like Mirror Master is an underrated supervillain.
Absolutely.
I want to see him on screen other than in the Flash CW show. I think he'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, he was kind of lame in the Flash show. He had like a suit on and he had these fucking loafers and no socks.
Yeah.
Like, and you remember it bothered the shit out of me.
Remember how cool Mirror Master was in like Injustice when we read that? And he like takes Superman's parents? Super cool.
Great use of him.
Yeah. But anyway, so the real trade starts in the third issue of this trade, but it's issue one of the Suicide Squad run that we are wanting to read. So that starts here. And basically it starts with Rick Flagg disagreeing with Waller's new devious plans, but we don't really know what that is yet. But we know that they're kind of butting heads a little bit. So Amanda Waller shocks Rick Flagg unconscious. And then we see the Suicide Squad, who's being led by Peacemaker, is on sort of a breakout heist mission at Arkham Asylum, and their goal is to break out William Cobb, aka the Talon.
I love this too. I'm like, oh, Talon, sick.
Yeah, we love Talon.
We forgot about Talon, but we love Talon.
People sleep on Talon. I think he's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Famously created in the Scott Snyder, Greg Capullo run of New 52.
Yeah, Batman.
Of Batman. New 52.
So Talon is an assassin for the
Talons.
The Talons are assassins for the Court of Owls.
Yeah.
And they're really cool.
They look cool.
I forgot that Talon, like his like persona is like an owl.
Mm-hmm.
And so when he like starts like being insane, I didn't connect the dots.
Yeah. I think he has this like funny gimmick where he's acting insane and he's just saying who, like asking,
cause he doesn't know he's acting as if he doesn't know who he is, who anybody is.
Yeah.
Cause he's like, so he's just some sort of mental break.
So he's just saying who, like WHO.
But I think that's a really fun thing.
It is fun.
It's like,
I read that.
It's almost cheesy, but it's like fun.
I read that and I was like, that's good comics. Like,
yeah. Cause if he was just saying who for no reason, that'd be dumb. But he's actually saying like who, because
like an owl.
Like an owl, yeah. Because he doesn't know who he is.
Yeah. And so, yeah, Talon, in his sort of crazed state, starts kicking the Suicide Squad's ass. And he ends up killing Bolt, their teleporter for the Suicide Squad, which is the second Bolt. And why?
It's like a dude Bolt.
It's like a dude Bolt. But there's also a girl Bolt in this Earth as well. So I'm a little annoyed that they're both called Bolt, but it's good as one. So yeah, he kills one of the members of the Suicide Squad. And then Arkham starts to get filled with Joker gas, or like the Joker toxin, which kills another person of the Suicide Squad. named Film Freak. I'm not sure what this dude's gimmick is, like what his deal is, like why he's a villain, but his gimmick is that he just quotes movies.
I think he probably has some powers that we don't see, but he just quotes movies like a lot. It's yeah. really dumb.
And then he just gets killed by Joker gas.
Mm-hmm.
So the only people to like make it out of the situation are Peacemaker and Talon. They make it into the next room, but it ends up being filled with Arkham guards. And they're like, oh, shit, we got our work cut out for us. And then also we see Amanda Waller has Superboy in restraints, and she wants Superboy to lead the Suicide Squad. So we're like, oh, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sort of the cliffhanger for the book. But I like seeing how Peacemaker, he like is really committed to his mission of peace to the point where he'll just like fuck over other people in order to like complete his mission. And I think that that's an interesting aspect of this roster of the Suicide Squad, because normally you'd have the villains sort of like looking out for each other, but Peacemaker's like, I don't know, whatever does the mission, you know?
Yeah, I think that makes a more interesting Suicide Squad, like someone who's always committed to the mission.
Like too committed to the mission.
And like always knows that people are expendable.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, they draw Amanda Waller with like a gut in this. Like, she's not like a super slender woman.
No.
Like, canonically, but when they like go out of their way to draw the gut, like, look at this panel.
Yeah, I do like that panel. Yeah, I mean, she's not like canonically fat or skinny at all. I think it just kind of like is, you know, it's whatever.
She's kind of got, I guess, the equivalent to like a dad bod. I don't know, mom bod. That still seems rude, but.
But yeah, I did
it,
notice.
It just seemed kind of.
I did notice her physique was a little bit off.
Yeah.
But pretty fun so far. Yeah. Like mm-hmm. they're getting Talon. That's great. I think he's a cool addition to a Suicide Squad. So we'll get into issue 2, where Peacemaker and Talon basically need to fight their way out of Arkham as the Joker toxin sort of approaches them. They have to fight through a bunch of guards. But they sort of get overrun by all these guards until Amanda Waller sends him backup, which is a team of three, or a big team of people. But it's Mind Warp, Nocturna, Exit, Kilbra, and Superboy. So these are definitely villains that nobody's ever heard of, except for Superboy, obviously.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like a whole ass team that gets sent in for backup. But we do get like a little bit of a description of each, which I appreciate, over like a splash page.
Yeah.
I wonder how many of these are like existing villains or if they've been created for this run. Because in the last Suicide Squad we read, there were a couple people that we saw like the first appearance of.
Yeah, and their only appearance of.
Yeah, because they died immediately after. So.
Exit looks like somebody that would not be in anything else.
He's just like another teleporter. Like teleporter.
Yeah, they definitely.
They have like a getaway driver in each rendition of this team.
Yeah, everyone has like the purpose. Like for like the team, and yeah. then they just somehow keep finding another one.
Yeah, there's always some form of a getaway driver in mm-hmm. this, which is funny. But I don't know. I guess I could see what you're saying with this Suicide Squad being a little bit weak, because I don't really like anybody other than like Nocturna, kind of.
I like that she's like a vampire.
She's a vampire, yeah, and like just doesn't care about human life, so she's yeah. perfect for this mission kind of deal.
Yeah, so like having her on the team, but I think I prefer like some familiar faces.
Yeah.
And when it's just like a team of misfits that I don't know, I don't love that much.
Yeah, I guess so. Like it doesn't even need to be somebody like super famous like a Harley Quinn.
Yeah.
Just make it like Captain Cold.
I don't even like when Harley Quinn's in Suicide Squad.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, it's I like it enough, but it's like overdone. But mm-hmm. like put in like a Captain Cold, you know?
Yeah, that might even be a little more high profile.
Yeah.
So
who's a C-list villain that you want to see in the Suicide Squad? If you were to create
Kite
a
Man.
Roster. That's a good one. You know, I didn't expect you to have that good of an answer.
Okay, C-list villain. It'd be pretty cool if they had like some sort of lantern on the team somehow. Like they're somehow able to get him one of those, like a red lantern or something.
That'd be pretty powerful.
Maybe overpowered at that point. You know, I don't think I know too many. Because I think a lot of villains are introduced like in the older comics, and like there's not too many just kind of little petty villain of the week.
Yeah.
Villains in like comics nowadays.
Here's the right answer. Okay.
Okay.
Condiment King.
Yeah.
That would add a level of fun to it.
Yeah, definitely.
So anyway, they managed to escape. They have to like put a replacement like Talon person in Talon's place, I guess.
They put a body in there.
Just put a body in there. But they managed to escape and they exit, or Exit dies from Joker gas. And then Superboy also has like the Boy Scout mentality, and he tries to like save the people of Arkham. So he's kind of focused on that, which is not really like the point of the mission, and Peacemaker kind of butts head with him a little bit because of it.
Dude, I thought who's this guy? Mind Warp. I thought that was Shatterstar. I'm like, yeah, it's not the right universe.
He does kind of look like him. Yeah, Mind Warp dies to Joker gas, so that sucks. And yep. So does Exit. We do see Batman come in, and he's like, I need to help these people at Arkham. But he does not cross paths with the Suicide Squad.
Mm-hmm.
So they managed to get out.
And I don't think we see Batman for the rest of the
We don't. Trade, so. He's just kind of in there for the artist to draw, probably.
I was like, oh, shit. We're in trouble.
And then back at the base, Peacemaker butts heads with Superboy. He actually punches him, too, for like getting in the way of the mission of peace. And then like Peacemaker like walks out of the room. And then Amanda is like, we need to recruit a speedster named Bolt. And I'm like, didn't we just have a Bolt in this issue? So that's basically how that issue goes.
Let's see here. There was something I wanted to mention. I need to find it, though.
Okay. I love how this artist draws people getting punched in the face, because there's like a really big like impact.
Yeah, it's like a crater
on like their cheek. Yeah. And it makes it look like a really hard punch.
Mm-hmm.
So I do really appreciate that. Also, this artist is really good at drawing like super buff people.
Yeah,
like Peacemaker is super, you know, beefed up like John Cena.
I think John Cena is bigger, honestly.
Probably, but this guy is like super big.
Yeah.
So I think this artist is like really good at drawing that.
So I think it's Calibra, one of the members of this.
Calibra, that's probably what it is. I said Kilbra.
Probably.
But it's probably Calibra. We'll say that.
That's how I was reading in my head.
Okay.
So she, when they're putting the body like in Talon's old cell, she's like, we should set up cameras. Psycho real world would be a hit and get me one letter closer to an EGOT. Do you know what an EGOT is?
No.
So it's what happens when you get an Emmy, a Grammy, an Oscar, and a Tony Award.
Really?
Yeah. And there's only like three people in the world that have done it.
Emmy, Grammy, Oscar. So that would be like movie, TV show, music.
Yeah. I don't know what Tony is, but
I don't know.
Apparently they put that in there.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Yeah. I just wanted to ask if you knew what that meant.
I don't know. Do we know who's won those EGOTs?
You can look them up, because there's not a lot of them. I know, what's her name? The one in the girl in the Color Purple. You'll look it up and I'll see it.
John Legend?
Wow. Yeah, because you can win an Oscar from a song in a movie.
Okay.
Elton John. Martin Scorsese.
Oh, I didn't get any of these people.
Really?
I have a different EGOT list.
Wow.
Anyway, doesn't matter.
Yeah, so I don't know how I know that. I just know that, and I wanted to see if you knew that.
I did not know
that.
There's
a couple more references in here I'm going to ask if you know.
Okay, sure. But yeah, that's issue two. So issue three, our first issue three of this trade.
Oh, another one. Sorry. He said, I think Calibra said that they're going to Uma Thurman Superman or Superboy.
What was the context again?
Okay, hold on a second. So,
like, stick a needle in?
Yeah, to stick the needle in. And then she's like, you want me to Uma Thurman, the Boy Scout? Why didn't you just say so? And then she stabs a needle in Superboy's chest.
Is that a Pulp Fiction thing?
Yep.
Okay.
Okay, just checking. Because she ODs, and then she basically gets stabbed in the chest.
To save her?
With like adrenaline.
Oh, okay.
To save her. And it does save her.
Wow.
John Travolta does it. It's really funny.
That's cool. I'm glad I knew that reference.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Issue three. Nocturna is suspicious of Superboy because one of her powers is like feeling vibes, basically. And she's like,
she vibe checks people.
She's like, Superboy has no vibes because he's a clone.
I'm getting some bad vibes from Supes.
But basically she can like read memories or something, and Superboys are like all clout, like cloudy. They're all clout. He just clout checks. He's like, I know Superman.
All his memories are clout chasing.
Yeah. I mean, basically, because he's cloned from Superman and Lex Luthor, which are two of the most famous people in this universe. So he's just a clout chaser.
Dude, going back to that punch that Peacemaker gives Superboy, his cheek looks like a ravioli after like that punch. It looks so gross.
It's a heavy punch.
Yeah. It's a bit much, but yeah. It's good stuff, you know.
It's like when you see, you know, like an MMA like slow-mo knockout.
Oh yeah.
And like someone just takes the like the one frame where it's like right when the impact like really like hits the face. That's what it looks like. Yeah, good punch.
Mm-hmm.
So Superboy has no vibes because Amanda Waller did something to him, basically. And then Peacemaker thinks it might affect the mission that Superboy's on it, and that Waller has been lying to all of them about something. So he's kind of suspicious. So Waller now wants to recruit Bolt, who's a metahuman speedster, in the Teen Titans, and she has like bursts of speed.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, it is.
Not just be like a speedster where she goes super fast all the time.
Yeah, all the time. She's got some stamina. You know, she got to rest a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So Waller wants Bolt because they made some sort of deal before, but Bolt doesn't want to join them. Like, she doesn't want to act on that deal and doesn't want to join them. So they plan a kidnapping with Keymaster, who's another teleporting supervillain. And then they get Branch, who's basically just like a human Groot.
Yeah.
And I like Branch. I think he's... I'm rooting for him this whole time.
Feel bad for Branch.
Yeah. Keymaster is just another teleporter. They got another getaway driver dude.
Yep.
Can't get enough. Basically, the plan fails when Keymaster tries to just escape Waller and he gets blown up.
Mm-hmm.
And then Bolt sees the trap that they have set up, which is basically just tripping her with Branch's branch.
Like a vine or something.
Tripping her into Keymaster's portal. Into a cell, which, you know, sometimes the simpler the better, you know, but I think that's kind of a funny plan.
Yeah,
you like let's this... just trip her. So
I thought it was cool that Bolt is paraplegic and she has those like blades on her feet. Mm-hmm. Or as feet.
She's in Titans Academy and cool. I thought the same thing. I'm like, that's so cool that a speedster,
because those people do be booking,
dude. They do
you and just think to make it like, her like an actual superhero is dope.
They look real springy when they're doing that.
Yeah.
So yeah, she's got those like curved ones that are for running.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, really cool. Great character design. So yeah, the plan fails. Bolt sees a trap and she just avoids the Suicide Squad and runs back to Titans Academy or the Titans Tower.
Mm-hmm.
And then Red X shows up to beat up Peacemaker. And he demands to talk with Waller. And so this is when, I guess, the Suicide Squad crossed over with Teen Titans Academy.
As we mentioned last episode.
It won a particular award called the Nacho Award, which is not necessarily a great award. But yeah, there's some crossover between these two books. And I've now read both of those books, and I don't know why there's a crossover still.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what the point of it was. Like, I guess it was like...
Because, well, it makes sense, technically, like, plot-wise, because the Suicide Squad needed to go to Titans Tower. Teen Titans Academy is based in Titans Tower.
Yeah.
So.
But, like, the reason that they needed to go to Titans Tower is, like, a little forced, I guess. But.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess there's just more context about that crossover. Mm-hmm. And I do like Red X, but we still don't know who Red X is at this point. So it's just like, I don't get any closure.
There's a really funny part before they go on the mission. Mm-hmm. And Peacemaker's talking to Superboy. He's like, do we have a problem, Boy Scout? And Superboy says, fuck around and find out.
Yeah, I like that. I think that's great.
It's like, oh my God. Just forcing the modern slang in there.
Yeah, that's some 2021 writing. But yeah. I think that line's gonna stick for ages.
Yeah, it'll stand the test of time.
Yeah. What are we on? Issue 4?
Yeah.
Yeah, so this issue ties into... It's after the Titans Academy tie-in issue,
mm-hmm.
where the squad, I guess, went to Titans Tower with Red X to try and get Bolt, but then Red X betrays them and then gets taken in into Waller, who has them all like chained up and stuff. Peacemaker meets with the rest of the squad to tell them that Waller's like being a big problem, and they're like, and Peacemaker's like, she's not interested in peace like I am, kind of mm-hmm. deal. And everybody's like, yeah, it's kind of obvious, you know. But I guess it's like a thing that Waller can't take off Red X's mask, and so that she's just like shocking him while he's like all chained up to like try and, you know, get him to break.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the solution. Just keep him chained up. He has to eat eventually.
Yeah.
He's got to take off his mask to eat.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you got to do.
Yep.
So she's very impatient.
Checkmate.
Yeah, exactly. Just like have his arms available, put a nice like chicken McNugget meal in front of him. Ooh. That he can't resist. Eventually he has to eat it.
Maybe a Big Mac or something.
Yeah, Big Mac. Do something like that. It's easy.
I mean, you can like just take off like the lower part. You can still not know who it is, you know?
Yeah.
Like how Deadpool does when he's eating.
Yeah. Well, his mask does look pretty like solid. So it looks like he'd have to take off the whole thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Alternate plan. Put a skincare routine in front of him. I bet he gets real sweaty in that mask.
Yeah.
He doesn't want any acne, does he?
Real greasy.
Yeah.
You know how you just like, you just feel dirty and you just want to take a shower?
Yeah.
And the best part is when you wash your face.
Yeah.
That's just going to happen. Make it real hot in there.
Put the best skincare routine in front of him.
Yeah.
So he won't be able to resist.
What was that? Proactive shit?
Proactive?
The three-step program?
No one can resist.
I know. The foamy suds on your face is the best.
Do you remember how all those commercials were always in like the Teen Nick channel?
Yeah, dude.
And I'm like, that's kind of fucked up.
Is every commercial break. Be like, you have acne. Buy this.
You have acne and you're ugly. Buy this.
And I don't think that shit worked for anybody, honestly.
No, probably not. But it looks real hydrating when people are splashing water in their face or whatever.
My face definitely felt cleaner, but
yeah,
I don't think it really did anything.
Who knows? Didn't you try that?
I think so, yeah. Mm. I remember having the bottles, and they're much smaller than they are in the commercial.
Yes, I used to have bad acne.
Yeah, it wasn't that bad.
It wasn't that bad.
Like, there was some tough days, but I've seen like some acne which is just like looks painful.
Yeah.
Like they just got in a fight or something.
Yeah, true.
But
anyway. It's okay if you have acne, it's normal.
Yeah.
Nothing
to be ashamed of.
Also, get a skincare routine. It's nice. Feels good. So anyway, while chained up, Red X manages to like trigger a prison break in like the Suicide Squad break in the Suicide Squad base. A bunch of villains break out and the squad has to go and protect Amanda Waller. And so Red X escapes during all this confusion and Red X manages to like beat up Talon and Culebra. Is that what you called her?
Culebra, yeah.
Culebra. Yeah, manages to beat up Culebra and then fights Peacemaker again. And that's pretty much that issue. Oh, and then he also, Red X beats Peacemaker's ass again, exposes Amanda Waller's hidden location in like this base, and then he escapes, leaving on like this like airplane that blows up a hole in the wall. And then the squad is like all broken up because they don't trust each other. And then Waller's not in control of all the inmates. And then Rick Flag escapes.
I think Red X lets him out.
It's a mystery as to who lets him out.
Okay.
We just know that he's gone.
When Red X was in like custody or whatever, and he's being shocked, I thought it was funny how like his eyes close, like the mask looks like his eyes are closing.
Yeah.
It's like it makes sense for like, you know, comics and just for stories to show that he's in pain. But like you're saying, it was like a solid like face mask part.
Yeah, it looks like a solid piece. So yeah. The fact that that's like changing is funny.
Mm-hmm.
Also, like he's just in like a wife beater. So like they've clearly taken off the rest of his costume, but they just couldn't get his mask for some reason because it's like wired with like electricity.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah, good fight. I really like the composition of the last page because it's like the Red X mask and the X of the Red X mask like splits up the different panels.
Yeah, that was fun.
I think that's a cool page.
There was so as Red X is getting out, he like calls Talon on his bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we find out that he really knows who he is. We don't know what his game is.
We don't really know yet.
And then Red X says that he's a friend.
Okay.
So whatever that means.
Who knows? We never figure out who he is in this trade or in the first couple issues of Titans Academy.
What I thought it was odd. So he blows a hole in like the side of this building.
Yeah.
And that's supposed to be Belrev Penitentiary.
I guess so.
It's in the side of like a business building.
Yeah.
Which I thought was interesting.
And then he like just jumps on a plane casually just to get out.
There's a plane flying below city limits.
Yeah.
And he just jumps on.
Doesn't kill Waller or anything, but it's fine.
Yeah, no.
Anyway, issue 5. This is where shit really picks up for me. Is this issue?
Oh yeah,
we get Bloodsport now.
I thought this was back matter at this point.
Yeah, but the book infinitely just like turns up for me because Bloodsport is so cool, and the mission that he's on in this issue and the next issue are super fun. But basically, he's working for Waller, and he's going to different dimensions and different like Earths, and getting intel on their metahumans and potentially recruiting them for Amanda Waller.
And all the Earth 3 stuff is drawn by Dexter Soy, and it's awesome.
Yeah, it's all great. And why don't you start with this? Like, if you want the premise of your book to be Amanda Waller gathering interdimensional villains to recruit for the Suicide Squad, great idea.
I think this is, like, how they're kind of explaining that it'll get to the future state point.
Maybe.
But anyway.
But, like, start with this, because Bloodsport looks fucking amazing. That first double page splash where we see, like, the first full body pose of Bloodsport.
So sick.
Unbelievable. His gun looks cool and futuristic. And I guess, like, his power here is that he can just, like, portal guns to him or something.
Yeah, I guess it's just, like, a space somewhere where he can just reach in and grab whatever gun he wants.
Grab guns, yeah.
Which makes sense.
It's kind of like video games, if you think about it.
Yeah.
He's like, what's in my inventory? And then he just, like, pulls it out immediately.
Yeah.
So, right now, Bloodsport's in Earth 3, where he's looking at the crime syndicate, which, for anybody that doesn't know, it's basically the evil Justice League with Ultraman and Owlman and stuff like that. So, Waller wants Bloodsport.
We got Emerald Knight.
Emerald Knight. Yep. Evil Green Lantern. Love that.
Atomic something. And then Superwoman.
Yeah. I like this pose of Ultraman because I think it's like a homage to like Superman, like Action Comics number one first appearance where he's like holding the car.
Yeah.
It's like that same pose. But in this context, he's holding a truck and he's smashing into a building to do some evil stuff.
Yeah.
And I think that's cool. But yeah, Bloodsport's there. And he's tasked with bringing in Black Siren, which is the evil Black Canary, which he does during a Starro attack, an Earth 3 Starro attack.
Yep.
Which is funny because the Starros look different. They operate differently. They latch onto people's chests and they look like crop tops instead of latching onto people's faces.
Yeah.
Which I think is funny. That's just like a weird detail that they decided to do.
Mm-hmm.
But he almost gets away with bringing in Black Siren until Ultraman shows up and kind of just stops him. And so you're like, oh no. One thing that I thought was pretty funny, I don't know if you caught this, but Bloodsport says WTF as Whisko Tango Foxtrot.
Whiskey Tango Foxtrot.
Yeah. That's pretty fun.
Yeah.
And, like, he says that as he sees like evil Superman and he's like, Whiskey Tango Foxtrot.
Yeah.
Like, that's so extra. But I also really like the sort of alternate mission in his head where he's just checking out his family in different Earths and he's like making sure that his brother's okay.
Yeah, like his brother's like a doctor or something in this Earth.
Yeah, but and in the original Earth, his brother dies, which is what motivates him to go into the military. Yeah.
Yeah.
So pretty cool. Waller's team discovers that there's a Swamp Thing sighting, which Waller wants to act on. She wants to recruit Swamp Thing, which would be really cool.
Yeah, that'd be a good addition. I don't know how you'd pull that off, but
she did it with Clayface. I think she's got a plan.
Probably.
She'll just like hold like a ficus or something at gunpoint and be like, you got to work for me now or I'm going to shoot this ficus.
Yeah.
So she's like, I want to recruit Swamp Thing. So she goes to Peacemaker and Peacemaker's like, I don't want to lead this team because we're not getting closer to peace, which is what I thought we were doing. And so he gets just shocked. Amanda Waller just shocks him.
Electrocuted, yeah.
Yeah. And in that altercation, is that what you call it?
Yeah.
In that altercation, Peacemaker says this line, and he's like, I'm not seeing any peace, just us in pieces. And I think that's a sweet bar. That's a bar.
That's deep. I hope he says that in the show.
Dude, that'd be so good.
That's the best thing that he could ever say.
That's like, I can't believe it's been this long until... I'm not seeing any peace, just us in pieces. Yeah. Like, that's deep, bro.
Mm-hmm.
So Waller has to approve Bloodsport to get the big gun while fighting Ultraman,
which is like a kryptonite gun.
It's a kryptonite gun, but what they don't know about Ultraman is that kryptonite makes him stronger. So he shoots him with a kryptonite gun and he's like, oh shit, this is good.
Yeah.
And it's
that pure kryptonite or whatever.
Yeah. And so he's like, I want more of that. And Ultraman lasers off Bloodsport's like Suicide Squad bomb on his forehead. And he's like, where can I get more kryptonite? So he's keeping him alive to use him for more kryptonite. But I forgot that was like a part of this version of Superman that like instead of kryptonite being his weakness, it like makes him stronger.
Yeah, no, I totally forgot about that.
Yeah, but it's
like
cool.
Who knows everything about the crime syndicate?
You know? Not a lot of people.
The crime syndicate's awesome. I think it's a lot of fun.
What was the big story that they were in?
Forever Evil.
Forever Evil. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Good job.
That's when they first kind of show up, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're a huge part of that.
Yeah.
That's actually a really good book.
Yeah, it's a Geoff Johns book.
I have it, actually, like all the issues.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it's like one of those things I'd revisit, but it is a good book.
Yeah.
Unless we decided to.
Yeah, we could.
We'll revisit anything.
Yeah.
We'll get to it eventually.
We'll get to it.
Maybe in like 4 years.
Yeah, when we run out of trades.
Yeah, we're like,
which
fuck.
Is going to happen. Yeah.
There's no way we'll get to a point where we'll be like, fuck, I don't know.
That's it.
What do we do?
There's no way.
There's so many lists.
Sophia asked me that today. She's like, are you guys ever going to be done? Not in like a bad way, but like out of genuine curiosity. Like, are we going to read every trade? Because in her mind, a trade is multiple comics put into one, but comics come out month to month. So she's like the math in her head was like, we're going to catch up.
But we only read like one trade like a week.
Which is what I said. I'm like, there's typically multiple
trades. You should show
her
the fucking like the solicitations that they put out. Mm-hmm. Like, this is a new trade. This is a new trade. This is a new trade.
We could never be done.
Yeah.
Every time we read a trade, we're falling behind.
The surface. We've barely gotten past the crust of the earth that is the trades that are out there.
Yeah. And not even the crust of the earth that are the good trades that are out there.
Yeah, exactly. So. There's going to be things that I think there will always be things that we like want to read.
I think so. Yeah.
Because I don't think we'll get to the point where like, I read everything I wanted.
We're
now we're just reading things we don't want to read.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
At that point, we'll be done, but we'll never get there.
We'll always hear of new things. There's always new things coming out.
Yeah, new good things coming out.
It's, yeah, definitely.
It's good. I also really like that Bloodsport is fighting like Ultraman, because historically in comics, he was like known for fighting like Earth One Superman. So it's kind of cool to see him go up like against a different version of Superman.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Good.
And I think like even in the movie, they said that he like wounds Superman.
Superman in like the ER or whatever.
Yeah.
So yeah, issue 6, last issue. The Suicide Squad rounds up a villain named Night Terror who can vibrate at different frequencies, allowing her to pass through walls. So they use her in order to create technology that allows the Suicide Squad to get into Earth 3 without their brain liquefying, because they're allowed to vibrate at a different frequency. Which I think is funny, because they have like the first 5 pages dedicated to like, hey, capture this person so we can go save Bloodsport.
Mm-hmm.
But Waller sends Peacemaker to go recruit Swamp Thing, but really she's just trying to test his loyalty to Waller, because she thinks that he's going to try and like betray her in some way.
Yeah.
And so the squad led by Superboy is sent to Earth 3 Metropolis now that they can... But now that their comms are sort of like off and Waller can't hear them, I guess they can talk freely about Waller. And Superboy finds out that Waller's kind of been fucking with his head in some way. And he's like, oh, it sucks. But then they get attacked by Ultraman, who wants more kryptonite. He's expecting this team of people to come because he wants more. I guess like maybe in this universe, he's just had all the kryptonite that
probably
is like available. So he just kind of wants more.
Yeah.
So Superboy takes him on while the rest of the team goes to get Bloodsport and Black Siren. And
Ultraman rips Branch in half.
I know. I was about to say that. Like, Branch saves Nocturna from falling off a building. And he's like, I got you. Don't worry. And then Ultraman just rips Branch in half.
Yeah. It's
and that
one.
Actually made me kind of sad. Like, I was rooting for Dollar Store Groot. Okay.
Yeah.
Like,
man.
I was like, he's just kind of like doing what he's told. You know, he's minding his own business. He's trying his best.
Nathan's favorite Suicide Squad member just died.
Yeah. I want Branch to come back. If there's any good Branch books out there, let me know.
No, there isn't.
I'm going to look up if this is his first appearance.
Branch, DC Comics, do it. There, he had to be the answer to, like, Groot, right? So,
there's Ken Branch. I don't know if it's the same Branch. Nope, definitely made for this.
Yep.
Wait, first appearance... Suicide Squad 3, Need for Speed.
Oh, so a different Suicide Squad book.
He died Suicide Squad number 6, Earth 3, Part 2. No, I think it's like this run.
Oh,
I think that issue is called Need for Speed.
Oh, so it was the one where they were trying, when they needed to get Bolt. So, yeah.
One of the pictures is just Branch being ripped apart when you look up Branch.
So,
bring Branch back. I'm part of the... I'm making
a hashtag
bring Branch back. So yeah, devastating loss for the Suicide Squad. Branch gets ripped in half.
Yeah,
like easily too.
Yeah, he doesn't, like, he doesn't get to
put up a fight. Yeah, like a piece of paper, which kind of. But anyway, so they managed to use Black Siren to like stun Ultraman with her loud ass voice, and then it allows everybody but Superboy to escape through the portal or whatever that they make, and then Superboy gets the upper hand and almost kills Ultraman, but he decides to just go through the portal instead and leave him alive because that's not who he is. He doesn't kill people, mm-hmm. which is not a very good person to get to lead the Suicide Squad. He doesn't kill people, but Amanda Waller seems to have a lot of confidence in him. So they are portaled back to Earth One or Earth Prime, whatever you call it, but they are instead in Russia to get medicine for Superboy, I guess, but they are met by the other version of Superboy, which is like the, I don't know, real edgy one.
Yeah, with the leather jacket.
The leather jacket Superboy.
So the one that we have is
Connor Kent.
And then this one is who?
Good question.
Damn.
It's supposed to be like that version of Superboy that came out right after Superman died, and then there's like four different versions of Superman that came out.
Superboy Prime or something?
I don't think they called him Superboy Prime yet. He wasn't Superboy Prime until
he got, why are there two Superboys?
Connor Kent calls himself Superboy. This Superboy was a thing before.
Is he what? Hold on.
So when Superman died to Doomsday, DC's like, let's put up four Superman books. That'd be cool. Which was Cyborg Superman, Steel, Superman with
Cyborg Superman.
No, Cyborg Superman, Steel, the Superman with sunglasses. What's his name? The Terminator, something like that. Exterminator, and then there's Superboy.
I don't know.
So. They have like a DC movie. It's like Night of the Superman, something like that.
Yeah.
I can't remember. But that's where this Superboy originates from. And then they redesigned him recently. So I don't know. There's a lot of continuity in that, but that's how this trade ends, which is not the best way to end a trade because it's like nothing got resolved really. But damn, did I really enjoy. Just Bloodsport looks so good.
He looks great.
Like it really made me just like excited. I'm like, why is this guy like not in more?
He should be in everything.
Because like his helmet is sick. He's like the DC Taskmaster. I would say.
Who?
As far as like,
oh yeah, probably
as far as like how cool he looks, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I'm genuinely like just excited about Bloodsport because he looks great.
Yeah.
So, what are you looking up?
Just who the fuck the Superboy is.
Yeah. I don't know. You'd have to explain the continuity to me, but we are at the point where we are at the back matter, Daniel.
Sure are.
So back matter matters.
Back matter matters.
We got a variance gallery. That's original, isn't it?
we like those.
We do like those. They actually have like a really good artist on some of these variants. We have Derek Chu, who I've never heard of, but he did the Future State ones.
Yeah, very interesting.
Yeah, very
his
good.
Here's art says. Very
and then cool. The one that I was really impressed with that I've never heard of is Gerald Peril. Mm-hmm. And he does a really great Peacemaker one that... like has like it's colored really well. I don't know if that's the dude that colors him, but
it looks like painting almost.
It does, and like the shirt and like clothes that Peacemaker's wearing is like super well rendered.
It looks like an actual person wearing an actual shirt.
Yeah, like there's just genuinely like good texturing there. It's like it's super cool. And then he does like a variant for the rest. He makes like
I like his number two variant.
Yeah,
with like Talon.
Talon's in there. He looks great.
He's almost like a Justin Nguyen-esque.
Yeah,
like style
with like a little bit heavier on the paints, it looks like.
Yeah, and a little bit heavier on like proper proportions.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Which is not a dig at Dustin Nguyen.
No,
he's
no.
Like the best at what he does.
Yeah, yeah.
He does a sweet Red X, a couple of covers. I like Ooh, the one where he's in prison.
He's got a great one with the Crime Syndicate.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
And then the last one with Bloodsport, also great.
Oh my god, that's so fire!
Like that's background worthy.
Yeah.
So what's actually funny is when I went to the comic book shop today, they had all six of these issues with these variants just in a random spot.
Nice.
Like on the new book rack. And I'm like, why is this here?
Well, Suicide Squad's still going on. And normally when like it was on the new book rack.
It was like.
Like the new this week?
Like these like six variant. Yeah. It was on like the new book rack for this week.
Huh.
I don't know why. I don't think they were like supposed to be there, but they like put them there for a second and then got busy with something. But yeah, like I saw this Bloodsport one and I was like, damn, that's cool.
I think that's worth picking up.
Yeah, I should have, honestly. And then we have some pencils for covers or something.
It seems like they're almost like pages. Layouts, but yeah.
Yeah, I recognize the bottom right one for the Superboy one. That's part of the first issue.
Yeah.
So
some
crazy fucking
character designs.
Character designs, some crazy pencils.
Maybe like all these people are like new for this book.
Cause could be.
Eduardo Pensica like seemed to have designs for all of them.
Yeah. There's one of his Bloodsport. Really cool. I just love the helmet. It's so good.
You know, I think when I saw his helmet in the movie, because obviously Bloodsport was like the first time I was exposed to him, I guess.
I think most people, yeah.
And I thought the helmet was kind of like, not tacky, but it didn't seem that cool. It just seemed like, it reminded me of like Halo, like, you know, the elite people or whatever. Yeah,
the elites.
How they have like the helmets on. It just kind of reminded me of that.
I just get alien vibes.
Yeah, exactly. Like a xenomorph. And mm-hmm. So it just seemed kind of cheesy to have that as a helmet, but it has really grown on me as I've like seen it more.
This is the best iteration of Bloodsport I've seen. Like
easily
that costume.
I think it's because it was more based off of the movie.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Which I don't care how we got here, but it looks cool. Original Branch designs, # bring Branch back. So I just think it looks cool. He looks innocent. I don't know why he's a villain, but he's cool. I like him. Bring him back. But we also see Keymaster, Exit, and Mind Warp, who all died in this trade. And then also Culebra, but is named La Fuerza in this instead. I'm not sure why. And that's the back matter. Pretty good. What we like to see.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
How would you rate this book, Daniel?
You know, I give it a love it.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, because, you know, there's like it, love it, gotta have it.
Yeah.
But it's like just coffee ice cream. You know what I mean?
I really fuck with coffee ice cream. For those that don't know, we haven't explained why we do this in a while.
Why?
Oh. We don't rate on like a 1 to 5 star.
Because that's boring.
You've clearly just heard us talk about this book and how much we like it. So we like to compare it to
in order.
Different food sizes, but not small, medium, large. Only the food sizes that change the names of small, medium, large.
Yeah.
So we typically, our go-to is Cold Stone, which is like it, love it, gotta have it, because it also kind of fits with like books.
And then you can like add toppings and that gives it like a stronger love it, you know?
Yeah, that gives you more detail about.
So if I just do like my favorite ice cream in a love it, but no toppings, that kind of explains itself.
I think,
you know?
I was going to go with a like it. With, you know,
tons of
toppings. Yeah. Okay. It's like,
but you can't fit a lot of toppings in a like it, you know what I mean?
Which is why, and I think that works, because at the top of this book we got Bloodsport, and I love Bloodsport. We don't get a lot of them.
And the rest of the book is the ice
and
cream.
The rest of the book is ice cream, which and, like, I do kind of like.
And you think like the first issue is like the cup?
Yeah. It's like if the first issue I was eating the cup. That's the future state.
Second issue, the spoon.
Yeah, it's so yeah, that's why we liken it to food, because it has strangely a lot of parallels that you wouldn't necessarily think unless you rated every book with food.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we do that. But yeah, I would say this is a like it with like a ice cream that I'm familiar with, but then I make it better with toppings.
Yeah.
But yeah, if no Bloodsport, this would just be like it for me. I still think it's kind of fun, but the Red X crossover with Teen Titans Academy and all that stuff just makes it a little bit weaker to me, but is what it is.
Sure.
So let's get into the pull list, colon. Shove it in your box.
The pull list, the pull list. What did you shove in your box?
What were you going to pick up this week, Daniel? You didn't go to the shop, but what were you going to pick up?
I was going to pick up, what's the furthest place from here? Number 3.
Yep.
There's a new High Republic series that's been written by Charles Soule.
Uh-huh. It's like brand new.
Brand spanking new. We got The Woman Without Fear, number 1.
Oh.
Yeah.
Damn, I'm definitely going to pick that up.
Yep. We got Dark Ages, number 4.
Wow. Got to read 2, 3, and 4 that one.
2's pretty good. I got to read 3.
Yeah.
And we got the last issue of Robin and Batman.
Mm-hmm. By saw Jeff that Lemire there.
And Dustin Nguyen. So, yep. Yeah, that's what I was going to pick up. What were you going to pick up?
Been a big old big 2 week for you, huh?
Big old big 2 week. Yeah, hardly any indie stuff.
Yeah, I was gonna pick up What's the Furthest Place from Here. We said it before, but there was a big fucked up thing that happened with Diamond distribution, so only DC stuff was at the shops today.
Mm-hmm.
I did pick up Detective Comics 1048. I found out that it's a weekly book, so we'll see how long I'm on that.
Dang.
I'm only going to stay until this arc with Ivan Reese ends, probably, because I really...
Isn't it like Mariko Tamaki?
It's Mariko Tamaki writing it, but Ivan Reese is on the art.
So I saw an ad for it, and it's 12 issues.
Oof.
That arc or whatever.
Really?
Yeah.
Coming out weekly?
Yeah.
How long have they been planning this?
I don't know. A long time, apparently. Because it hasn't been Mariko Tamaki for like this long.
So no, maybe it hasn't.
They probably gave him like a year in advance, like notice.
I guess he has been off Superman for a while. I think it was the last thing that he was on.
Right.
Matthew Rosenberg still has like the backup stories too, which I'm pretty interested in.
Oh yeah, about the villain.
So we'll see how long until I'm thrown off of that. Mm-hmm. But it'll probably be like the next 2 weeks if it's weekly.
Yeah.
So I picked that up. I was going to pick up What's the Furthest Place from Here. I will pick up Women of Tomorrow. Women Without Fear.
Woman Without Fear, yeah.
And then I didn't want to just pick up one book when I was there, which is Detective Comics. So I went looking around and I picked up issue 2, 3, and 4 of Unbelievable Unteens.
Oh, nice.
Because I have not read those digitally, like I said I was going to. And I was like, fuck it, I'll just pick it up here. So I picked those up too.
Yeah, I think if you have it physically, then you might as well. If they have it available, you might as well get it.
Yeah.
Because I feel like it's so rare when they actually have the thing that you need that you're super behind on.
Yeah.
But they seem to always have like order things pretty well.
Yeah, they do.
So I never have an issue with it.
So yeah, I'm excited to read that.
Nice, nice.
I did not read a goddamn book outside of the trade this week.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Just super busy, I guess. I didn't have any time. But What did you read this week, Daniel?
Let me tell you. I got all caught up on the Comixology originals.
Nice.
All caught up on The All-Nighter, caught up on Clear, and caught up on Night of the Ghoul. That shit's so fucking good.
Really?
Yeah. Like, you haven't even started, have you?
I have not.
Yeah, that's my favorite one out of Scott's Tober.
Really? Okay, that's awesome.
Francesco Francavilla at the top of his fucking game, dude.
Yeah.
Because it's how he wants to draw. He doesn't have to draw Archie or whatever. And he draws some horror shit. Some of the pages look like straight up like 50s horror movie posters.
Dude, that's his vibe.
And it's so fucking cool.
Oh, man. He's so good.
Yeah. What he does. Love that shit.
Awesome.
So caught up on that. Really excited to see where it's going.
Do you think they'll
make... I don't know how long these are going to be, though. And that's what concerns me.
I don't think very long.
Because sometimes you can read things and kind of set up expectations for yourself by how long it is.
Mm-hmm.
If it's like 5 issues, you know, it'd be like, oh, it'd be... You can kind of read it a certain way.
Okay.
But I kind of want some of these to be more long form because it feels like where I'm at with some of these books, it feels like they're kind of wrapping up almost, you know? So it might just be like one trade each.
I think that's what it seems like because Scott was doing like, he announced like a bunch of them all at the same time.
It
seems like they set themselves up to be just like a one trade thing.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if any of them are going to be ongoing. Maybe We Have Demons.
I could see that.
But like that's about it.
That book's fucking long. Like issue 2 is like 37 pages.
Yeah, I did not want to.
And I read that one too. I read number 2.
Oh, nice.
And I think I'm done with that book. It's still kind of dense.
It's so Scott Snyder.
Yeah.
But like the parts that I don't typically enjoy from his stuff. But yeah, I will read. I'm definitely gonna catch up on Clear and Night of the Ghoul. Now that you recommend it so much.
And also read Human Target 3.
Oh, so good.
Yeah, good stuff.
Yeah, some good Green Lantern stuff. There's a part where they're in a car, Mr. Chance and Guy Gardner.
Uh-huh.
And the way that he gets away from Guy Gardner is that he makes Guy Gardner get into a car crash with this light construct car.
Yeah.
So strange.
I think that's very funny.
I think it's funny, but like the fact that...
So when you're making a construct, you have to think about what it looks like.
Sure.
And so if it gets hit by another car and it shatters, does he have to think about it shattering?
No, it just shatters.
Okay. Because it's being broken.
It's being broken. Like if you create like a shield and you're not thinking hard enough about that shield, it'll still shatter.
Okay.
Or like the famous example, if you have Green Lantern chains around Superman and Superman's strong enough to out.
He breaks all the chains.
Breaks all the chains. They're not thinking about the links being like broken.
Yeah,
that is a funny idea.
Because a chain is only as strong as its weakest link. And if you were to smash it, it'd really only break in one place.
Then a chain is only as strong as its weakest think. because I'm not thinking hard enough.
Oh my god.
Anyway, I'll be here all week.
Anyway, yeah, that was a good one. Good to see like a new hero, and then also Booster Gold opens a bagel shop.
I love that dude.
And all the ingredients are from different places in like history.
Yeah.
I was like, that's fun. I want a bagel right now.
Dude, isn't that just like the funnest idea? Totally something that he would do. And he's like, this is going to be the best bagel shop of all time.
Yeah.
And then Skeets is like, it's not going to be the best bagel shop.
Yeah.
So good. And I like that guy's just like, he's like toxically overprotective of Ice. Is that her name?
Yeah, they call him Ice. Ice. Call her Ice.
And he's like, is this guy bothering you? And then she's like, no, I like this dude.
Yeah.
And they're like, we're over, like, you know, we've been over for a while. And the guy's like, no, you're my girl. Trust me. It's also good. I love that book.
Yeah, it's good stuff. I thought this one was probably the weakest of the three, but I still really like it.
I would kind of agree. Yeah, the other ones have been pretty, like...
Issue 2 is like a straight-up love story, all, like,
issue connected in one. Going to be hard to top.
And then... Issue 1 was just like
setting it up.
Such a great setup.
But yeah, setting up in such a great way.
So it'll be interesting to see. I think we'll be able to like talk about each issue individually because of how memorable they are.
Yeah.
Like by the end of it.
Like 2 is the Ice one. You know, 3 is the Green Lantern one. 4 is going to probably be like the Blue Beetle one because they're going to talk to Blue Beetle now.
Yeah.
So yeah, I like the format that he set himself up in.
Yeah, it's cool. Going to be a great book. It's a cool setup.
Imagine that collected, dude. Some Greg Smallwood process.
Oh, that'd be great.
Go follow Greg Smallwood because he has some incredible process tweets that blow my mind.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. So,
did you watch anything? You have time to watch anything this week, Nathan?
I mean, we watched kind of like half of a bunch of movies this week.
What do you mean half? You don't finish movies?
Well, like we were watching just movies that were on cable because we were at like a cabin over the weekend.
Oh, yeah.
So we watched like half of Spider-Man 3. Like,
and then we watched like half of Pulp Fiction.
Half of Pulp Fiction. Cable sucks, dude.
Cable's awful.
Like you
start movies in the middle?
No one ever saw the beginning of movies.
Ever.
They're just like, oh, I like this movie.
You'd have to like have a reminder on your phone. Oh, this movie starts at like 7 or
like,
something.
Like, oh man, I'd love to start this movie in the second act. That'd be great, wouldn't it? That's what Cable was.
You can never watch new movies.
And then fucking ads? Are you kidding me?
Commercials?
I don't want to see an ad for a vacuum in the middle of Spider-Man fighting Venom and Sandman. Okay?
Yeah, man.
I just don't. Stream everything. God damn.
You know, I think I always Spider-Man 3 always held up really well for me until this last time watching it. Just like how cringe like he is. When he's like got the Venom symbiote in
that's
him or
always
whatever.
Been cringe though.
Yeah, it's always been cringe, but it just kind of hits a little bit harder. And this like,
I think because of the memes, it was less cringe for me, and I was just kind of laughing.
Think the memes made it more cringe.
No, I think it made it less cringe because I'm trying to look for all the Bully Maguire references and stuff.
Yeah,
where he's like looking in a mirror and he's like fixing his hair or whatever.
Rub some dirt in your eye.
That's so funny. What a funny sentence.
That's a great one.
So yeah, I think it's good. Other than that. I don't think... What did I watch? I did watch something. I don't think I did, actually.
Show, movie.
I'm going to like remember it later. I'm going to kick myself. But yeah, I think that's it.
Nathan. Write it down.
I should.
Nathan, I finished Dexter New Blood. The finale came out.
I heard it was a banger.
It's so good. Oh, the last episode was so good. Like, this show is put together so fucking well, writing-wise.
Oh, good.
And you know how just like... there's so many like strings or whatever, and then just like all connects in the end, and it all wraps up really well.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear that.
It was so fucking good. Loved it. I was so tense, and then to end it, I'm like, where's this gonna go? And then it ended, I'm like, I loved it. So I don't know if there's gonna be a second season or not, but
I just heard that the showrunner said that he'd be down. That's basically it.
Okay.
So I guess we'll see.
Yeah, it's good. You got to do it, Nathan.
I will. You told me how to watch it. Now that with the proper method was so yeah. I'm gonna do that. That's great.
Yeah, good stuff. Good stuff.
Love that
because I can only really talk about it with like mom or like Sarah, you know what I mean?
Yeah, they're mid, you know.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
Sorry, talking to them about shit.
I love both of them.
It was a mid-ass conversation.
Just in the middle of your conversation, you're like, man, I wish Nathan watched this.
Wow, I really wish I was having this conversation with Nathan.
With somebody else. Yeah, the only other thing I consumed was just Boba Fett.
Yep.
Episode 2.
I watched that as well.
Pretty fun.
Yeah, I like this episode more.
Yeah, you know, for obvious
reasons. Mm-hmm. There's no Rancor, which I thought was kind of a bummer.
Because it died.
Yeah.
The door fell on it.
Oh yeah. Okay, I remember that. Mm-hmm. They don't. It doesn't have Rancor babies just, or something.
Yeah, just buy another one. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense in continuity, but it would have been kind of cool to see one.
I like seeing more of the Hutts.
Yeah, the Jabba twins. I didn't know there was that many more of them.
I don't know. They're fucking ugly though.
Dude, imagine how fucking heavy that shit is.
It's so
that heavy. The little thing where everyone's got to carry them.
But I like, you know, Boba Fett's like standing his ground. He's like, fight me then, bitch. And then there's the
Black Wookiee.
The Black Wookiee. His name's like Kersantan or something. Yeah,
Black Kersantan.
Originally created in the comics.
Yeah.
First appearance was like in the comics.
Kieran Gillen created him, I think.
Kieran Gillen, yeah. And he made this like banger tweet where he was like, I went back and looked at my original scripts for that, and I had a placeholder for that Wookiee's name, and he was going to name him Nubaka. And I thought that was so funny. But yeah, great looking Wookiee character. Can't wait to see them fight, because they definitely will.
I saw him tweet something. He's like, you guys are all obsessed about this thing that I just made up like 10 years ago.
Yeah, it's crazy. So
I love, he looks sick. Yeah, I like him a lot.
Yeah, people are like getting thirst trapped by him. It was kind of crazy.
That's so funny.
He looks great, though. And then I like the flashback stuff. He's like, he talks to the Tusken people in like this weird like English / sign language hybrid.
Yeah.
And he's like, train. We jump on train, kill people or
I
whatever.
I guess they understand sign language.
To some capacity.
Which I'm fine with, rather than him just continuing to say English and they still don't know what he's talking about.
I'm just glad that they didn't have him know Tusken, because like the Mandalorian knows like, Tusken.
Like that. Yeah, that'd be like so annoying.
So, yeah, I like the approach that they did.
I didn't like that they killed some Banthas in this.
Dude.
They killed two Banthas.
Nathan. I was sad that they killed. I almost cried when they killed the first Bantha,
That's
dude.
Like killing a dog.
It really is. Banthas are my favorite Star Wars creature, I decided.
Yeah,
and I
absolutely.
Knew it right when they killed the first one. Yeah. I'm like, Banthas are my favorite. Why would they do this?
And then they used it for cover.
The second one, dude. They used it as cover. The disrespect.
Like, we get it. You're getting shot a lot. But you kill a second one like it's nothing.
The same exact way.
Like, are you about to cry?
I am, dude. I love Banthas so much.
Yeah, and like they didn't do anything wrong.
They're just big fucking things, and they walk around in their heads.
And they're just jamming all the time.
They're just jamming.
I was enraged.
I was super pissed about that.
One thing, it was kind of weird. He just went into some random bar and then killed everyone in it, and then stole a bunch of speeders. I thought those are the people on the train at first.
That's what I thought too, but it was just like a Star Wars biker gang.
And then he just like takes all the bikes. Why didn't he just like take the bikes? Because they were outside. And they're having a lot of fun in there.
Because then he just like has more enemies.
And then when he took the bikes, he could have just left and escaped the sand people.
But that's not honorable.
Who
gives a shit? He said that he was going out on a mission to
stop the train.
Go stop the train.
And he didn't do that.
And so, I don't know. He's just an honorable dude, I guess.
They gave him a rifle and a stick. And then...
Oh, I love that stick kung fu.
Yeah, it was kind of fun.
Tusken kung fu that they learned. Yeah, pretty fun.
So, I just thought that was interesting.
Yeah, good stuff, though.
Dude, the one sand person with, like, the black cloak was such a badass.
Dude, he really is.
That was, like, teaching him how to fight with the stick.
I never thought that I would be interested in Tusken culture. But yeah. They're awesome. They're, like, nomads.
If they make a fucking figure of that one guy with the black...
Black Tusken?
I'm buying that shit. Yeah. The Black Tusken?
100%.
Sick. I didn't really like that there's, like... This is like the train episode. You know what I mean? Like, you know,
it's basically what it is.
This is like the train episode. And like I don't think a train in Star Wars is that interesting.
No.
But I just hope that this whole series isn't all on Tatooine and isn't all with him.
It's going to be
being friends with sand people.
I think it's going to be. I think it's like an Arrow season.
Dude, when you think of like, they're going back and forth, but I want him to move past this.
No, because he's trying to be the what do they call him? As the crime lord?
I don't know.
He wants to be the whatever
Tamarin
W
or something like
the
that?
W word.
Oh.
I can't remember. But yeah, he just like wants to be that, I guess. I don't know. Hopefully there's one episode
and he's
that
doing
takes
that through
him.
The sand people. Like there's other things that he can do to, you know, get to, I don't know, the point where he gets his suit back or whatever. And well,
he gets a suit back in Mandalorian.
That's true. So he has the cloak thing that he shows up in the Mandalorian, and then the stick, I guess. And so
he did have the stick. That's right.
I forgot about that.
It's going to be all on Tatooine, I think. There might be one episode where he has to go off planet to go get a carton of milk or whatever, and then bring it back.
He also has to explain how he gets Slave 1 back.
True.
Wherever that is. I don't know if it's parked somewhere
on
Tatooine.
It's on that watery planet, probably.
What? the one that's in like...
Did Jango Fett drive that? Or is that Boba? I can't remember. Yeah, I think it's all going to be on Tatooine, though.
No, I think they both drove it.
Maybe.
And so... No, that was like episode 2 or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, where he left it at the end of Jedi, which would be on Tatooine, because...
So still on Tatooine?
I guess so, yeah.
So he
could just go away from the sand people, like, you know...
Get Slave 1.
Their buds or whatever, get Slave 1.
Shoot the train.
Go do some other shit.
He could have used Slave 1 to shoot the train.
Well, we don't know, like, where... I don't think he knows where he is in, like, the desert, you know?
Oh, that's fair.
But, I don't know. It is... Like, I want this show to be better than what it is right now.
Yeah.
And I think it's such a cop-out to just do all the filming in, like, the desert and just be like, oh, it's a desert planet or whatever. Like, I want more planetary things, you know?
Yeah. There's definitely enough desert scenes in Star Wars. So I do agree with you on that. But I think that this is a character that is supposed to be on a desert planet.
I think Obi-Wan is a character that's supposed to be on a
desert
planet.
Oh, it's going to be more desert, isn't it?
It's going to be more desert. Yeah. So it's like, that's so much desert shit. Because he doesn't have any more things to do with the sand people. You know,
yeah.
He earned their trust. They helped with the train or whatever.
He's going to shake their hands at the end and be like, we're cool.
Give him some high fives. And then he can go do some other shit.
Do you think he's going to recruit Tusken people to help him be the Daimo or whatever of Tatooine?
I don't think so.
I think he will.
Oh, yeah. Because they explained that he like killed somebody in order to get it.
Yeah. Yeah, true. Anyway, I think it'll... I'm enjoying it so far. I think I'm enjoying it a lot more than most people are.
Based
off of the general...
The second episode is an improvement.
Mm-hmm.
But how long is this? Like 8 episodes or 10?
I think 8. I don't think it'll go past 8.
So I mean, we'll see. I'm sure it'll be fine. But I also think it'll just be desert shit. And I'm very bored with that.
Yeah, that's fair. You're not wrong.
Yeah. Anyway.
Is that it?
Is that the show?
Yeah. I think so. Next week. Daniel, I tried to find a physical Nightwing trade. I called literally every shop.
Really?
I called Ash. I called Brandon's. I called different Samurai comics. I called Greg's, and I hate Greg's, but I would have gone.
Okay.
Brandon comics sucks too. I called the one that's closest to me, and they don't even hold trades. And they're like, no, we don't hold trades because we suck as a comic book shop.
Who doesn't hold trades?
I don't know. It's a weird comic book shop. There's some weird ass comic book shops here, dude. Like Brandon's is they only order what people tell him to order. It's weird.
Oh, yeah. That's how Gotham is too. It seems like.
Oh, I didn't call Gotham. I guess I could have tried them.
That's fine. No, don't even worry about it.
So I will Venmo you the money to pay for the Nightwing trade by Tom Taylor.
I have it on Hoopla, so I don't really need to pay for it.
Cool.
Because I have a library card, and you should definitely get one. It'll probably make this podcast a lot cheaper.
True. Yeah. All right. Yeah. So Nightwing. I'm really excited about this, actually.
Yeah, me too.
I have high expectations for it, which hopefully won't let me down, but a lot of people seem to like it. So.
Yeah, no, I think it's good. I already started it.
Okay, cool.
It's like.
Seems like just
might
good
be
fun.
The best Nightwing story that I've ever consumed, which isn't a lot, but. Good shit.
But still, good Nightwing is always good. Everybody wants that.
Yeah.
So that's what we will be reading next week.
Alrighty.
All right, fuckers. See you later. Bye.
All right, bitches.
Oh, follow us on Twitter and TikTok and all that. But other than that, bye.
Yep.